Hey everyone, I hope you're doing great and enjoy these stories. Thank you for all the kind wishes, and I do feel a lot better now. I'm not exactly sure what I had, but it was a bit frustrating because it literally took weeks to get over, but I'm much better now. So thank you again for the wishes. Make sure you check out my Patreon if you want early access to my stories and my podcast in the description below. And I do have a quick message before the stories start. If you're somebody who has issues with your mental health and it's causing you to feel stressed out, one thing that might help is meditation. I know it might sound a bit silly, but honestly, every single time that I've tried it, within a week or two I felt much, much better in myself, and I think it's scientifically proven to make a big difference to your thinking and well-being, and really helps you reduce stress and negative thinking. So if you are somebody who struggles with your mental health and it causes you to feel a bit more stressed out, and if you struggle with your thoughts, it might be a good shout to give it a go. I know for me it can make a big difference if I feel anxious and kind of helps ground me a lot, so hopefully it can help some people out there. So I hope everybody enjoys these stories and has a good rest of the week. I'll speak to you all soon. When I was 14 years old, me and my brother, who's 11 years, visited my grandma's house in the summer. On the third day, we were playing some games with our friends until around 6 o'clock, and we went to the grandma's house to take snacks, but there was no one in the house. We took some snacks though from the fridge and started playing cricket with an exam pad and a plastic ball. My brother stopped playing and stared at the window for like 7 seconds. I asked him what's wrong and he said nothing. And we start playing again for some time. My brother then stopped the game again and starts crying and said to me to look at the window, but I don't see anybody. And he starts crying even more loudly, saying that there's somebody looking at us from outside the window. I go and look but can't actually see anything, but he was still trembling with fear. I look at the window once again, though this time with more focus, and I can see a black head or something. I don't know what it is, right at the corner of the window. And it's staring at us, and then slowly hid by moving from the right side out of view, and I can see that it's definitely a person, or at least the shape of somebody, but impossibly black. Almost like the kind where no light can escape whatsoever. Now at this exact moment, there's suddenly the sound of a plate falling from our kitchen, which doesn't make sense, nobody's there. Out of fear, I grab his hand and we run to the room, and then wait for about 30 minutes there. I can see the window from outside, and there's nothing there. My brother slowly stops crying and I say to him, "What did you see there?" And he said he saw a very dark hand grabbing the bottom window, waiting for somebody there, clearly. We then wait for our grandma to return and we told her the story and she thinks it's a cat and quickly dismisses us. But I know what I saw. Now my husband and I were camping in the Badlands National Park one October a few years ago. The entire park was nearly abandoned since peak camping season had ended, but we were fine with that. It felt secluded and exciting to us. Now, if you haven't been there, Google a picture and you'll see it's breathtaking. Now there's no towns to speak of, only a small village nearby where there's a school, a church and a few other shops and hotels for tourists. Now during the night time it would get dark, so you can't really see your hand in front of your face, I mean that dark. The first and only night we stayed there, my husband and I met the ranger on duty who warned us that it's only going to be us staying there that night. And apparently, the ranger's cabin was far from where the site we are, so if we run into trouble it might be some time before they can get to us. But we're both experienced campers, so this news didn't really worry us at all. It just made the prospect more exciting, I guess, being alone in such a beautiful place. After we set the tent up and cooked our dinner, we decided to get set up inside the tent since we're coming off a long day of driving and are pretty exhausted. We walked for a while before I heard a heavy, regulated breathing that told me I was the last one awake, and I noticed how profoundly quiet it is outside. We lived in Chicago at the time, so I should have thought this silence would be a welcome change, but it didn't really change anything, just unnerves me deeply. A few hours later, I'm jolted awake, only to feel the alert of my husband standing up next to me. He was listening to something. Almost immediately I heard what must have awoken me, the frenzied beating of like 100 drums. We held our breath as we listened for what felt like hours, but it never wavered, never lessened. In fact, it got louder and louder. Eventually we both laid down and tried to fall asleep, but neither of us could. We left at the first light the next morning. As we left the park, the ranger asks if we had any trouble. The ranger actually comments that it doesn't look like we've had any sleep. We both look at each other before deciding to say what we heard. The ranger stops for a moment before saying, "Oh, just have a safe journey back." On the way home, I looked up the history of the Badlands and found out about the ghost dance. It was apparently to reunite the living with the dead and rid the lands of the homesteaders who had taken it from them. We didn't know much about what we heard that night, but we definitely felt that it was something paranormal and truly something bizarre that we experienced. Now, this happened a few months ago and has been bugging me. I was out hiking and rappelling with a friend in the hills near Tombstone. I want to mention that I've spent quite a bit of time solo hiking and camping. I am used to hearing noises and brushing it off. Anyway, it's late afternoon and I'm the first one to rappel down. I got to the bottom and while my partner was getting ready to follow me, we heard a noise that I would only describe as a growl or snarl. It sounded like it was coming from the ridge above us. It was facing the cliff and sounded like it's coming from the right hand side. We both looked around and can't see anything. I encourage him to come down and even half joke that it's probably a bear or mountain lion. At that point, I wasn't even feeling that nervous. I figured that once the two of us are together again, we would be pretty intimidating to an animal. While he rappels down, I then hear a loud crash to what seems to be parallel to my left. At this point, I start getting really scared because it was getting closer and closer, and also somehow gone from right to left on an exposed cliff without either of us seeing what it was. He successfully rappelled down, and we both agree that we need to get out of there, and we still had a steep downhill climb to the car. We pack up the gear as quick as possible. And as we get our packs back on, we heard what sounded like a howler monkey. The noise was close and we could not see anything to have been making it. Of course it was from the direction that we needed to go, so we hauled down the mountain and got into the car. I know that it can be easy to let the mind play tricks, but we had the exact same account of what happened. Now this is a part I hesitate to put into writing because I know it sounds more insane, but we heard giggling and whispering next to us. Both of us heard this. I keep trying to explain to myself that our minds just played a trick. The first noise I would chalk up to a bear or mountain lion. Animals are stealthy and could run out in front of us, but we would notice. Well, maybe somebody had fell, but surely we would have seen it, so I don't really know what to think of this. Okay, so I live on the west coast of BC in Canada, about midway up the coast. So I was driving my girlfriend back to her grandma's house, 2 towns over from mine, about a 2.5 hour drive on the highways. I had driven her home and spent most of the day visiting her. This town she's from is right on the coast. It's a port city. Not super important, but I want to point out that I spent the day there and now was getting ready to drive back home. About 25 to 30 minutes into the drive, I'm on the highway that runs parallel to the mouth of the river on one side, and the CN tracks are on the other, so it goes to my left, and then the road that I'm on. and it's kind of like a mini channel where the river ends. So I'm driving, and it's getting dark, but I'm not so tired or drowsy at all. There's a few rest stops along the way on the right, on the riverbank. I need to urinate, so I start slowing down at the first sight of one, and something scurries across the road. And that's almost all that happened. It was four-legged, and at least from what I saw, like a bear, somehow a bit different. It was black, like black, like unnaturally. No texture or anything, just void of light or colour. And it ran out of the bush, over the rails, and I was going slow enough that the wind and noisy highway was gone and I heard it. It sounded like a metal tapping as it ran over the ballast and rail. Then, almost like the sound of if you took a rod or rebar and stabbed it into the ground, then metal again as it ran in front of me. Its body was shaped like how people described a UFO, almost a flat disc shape, like an overstretched oval thing. Now it had no features, no eyes, no face, no mouth, that I could see at least. It ran across the road, limbs stretched out as it ran. Then it ran into the rest area, over the bank and I'm guessing to the river. I kept driving and I didn't urinate until 2 hours later after getting home. I tried to search up this thing online but I've never had any luck. If anybody could help me, I'd appreciate it. And this thing was big, honestly, it was kind of like the size of a VW Beetle, big and fast. Now my girlfriend says that it may have been a ghost or skinwalker, but I've never heard of any of these around here. Maybe a Wendigo, but I'm not too sure. Now, as far as I can find, the most reasonable answer is that it's either a cryptid or something of that nature that hasn't been documented before, or maybe even an alien drone type thing. I'm pretty skeptical about it, but I really don't know what this could have possibly been. Now, I was with two friends in my truck. I was driving and it was dark, but not necessarily late. Probably about 10 p.m, we were traveling to Page, Arizona / Lake Powell from Durango, CO, to pass through to Catania, Arizona, part of the Navajo Reservation. I had been to the Catania before, several years prior with a friend of mine who grew up there. We spent the entire day just having a good time with his people, but as soon as the sun starts to drop, his mother and grandmother are insisting that we get off the res before dark. So it had a reputation as being weird, but lots of reservations do at night. Flash forward to me and my friends in the truck. Now we're on a long straight road with two lanes with classic red desert on both sides in daylight. There's another vehicle coming the opposite way and no crossroad in that area. There's another vehicle coming and this is important because right before we go to pass each other, what I can only describe as a metallic thing went streaking right between us at a perpendicular angle, like literally feet away from our bumpers. It looked to be about the size of an SUV with no lights or any kind of discernible shape, but it seemed smooth. It's a weird comparison, but like a speeding bullet in Mario Kart. All three of us saw it, and I think the other people did too, because they hit on their brakes hard. It kind of disappears out of view, and none of us know what it could have been. I work part-time as a park ranger, meaning that I'm called out whenever they need me, and sometimes I'll just back up the main force. I'm also not in the United States of America, so there might be some differences. I don't really know much about your guys' park rangers, but hopefully you still enjoy my story. Now, being out in the forest was something that I often enjoyed, but it could get incredibly cold where I live. You didn't always have to go far to find snow in my country. Whether that means it's summer or winter, there was always snow at least somewhere, regardless if you had to go higher up the north to find it. Now, where I was stationed, it was often snowy, but I didn't have any problem with that. It just meant that my normal was kind of being in the snowy conditions, but that wasn't really an issue. So I've really enjoyed this career, and it's something that I was doing while studying simultaneously. I found that it gave me quite a nice balance, and it was kind of like an adventure getting called out to go out into the forest and often search for people or just investigate things, and I found it really cool. I was never too worried because they would know where I was going and what I was doing, so the chances of myself becoming lost were pretty low. I remember that I got a call that I had to go out and search for a particular person that apparently wandered off the trail. So I head out. It's not really too dark at this point, it's just kind of nice outside, I guess, where there was a bit of a wind chill, but nothing too bad. I know we can get some incredibly annoying ones where you actually don't want your face to be near anything, but this one wasn't bad at all. The good thing I found too is when looking for these lost people, they often didn't go far off the trail, and because we're blessed with snow, it meant I could just trace footprints, and that's what I was doing. I probably search for about a good 40 minutes and I find some steps and I follow them. The steps just look like somebody wandering off the trail, and God knows why somebody would have went here. It meant that you had to duck down literally every 2 or 3 minutes to avoid getting a face full of snow from the low hanging branches, but each to their own, I would guess. Now, I eventually find somebody up ahead, and I can see them just wandering with some red coat on. I call out hello, and they don't reply. I call out hello again, and they still don't stop. And I wasn't actually meant to do this, but I actually just grab a snowball and lob it at them. Now, it hits them, and they finally turn around, and they seem to be very surprised to see someone. I say, "Hey, what are you doing? You're miles off the path. We're looking for you." They then motion with their hands to wait a minute, and I'm a little confused. I don't know why they've been ignoring me too. I genuinely consider that maybe they can't hear me whatsoever, and they can't hear, and they've just got lost or something. But they take off some headphones. They say, "What?" I shout, "Hey, we've been searching for you. You know the park closed a few hours ago." And they say, "Really?" I say, "Yeah." I say, "Where were you going?" And they say that they were following the trail. I then explain to them that they shouldn't really go off the trail and how incredibly dangerous it is, and eventually they come back with me. Now, this person says that they don't know why, they just had the urge to keep going, and I say that it's incredibly dangerous, but I do think this is quite bizarre. They're basically completely fine and decided to go off on their own little adventure, but I was just relieved to find the person and we both walk back together. Now, we come up to a small bridge. And I go across it first because they say they're a little worried. I kind of danced across to show that it was safe, and I turn back and they're gone. I can't believe it. I think, God, are you joking? I've just rescued this person and now they've gone off again. Almost like if you found a dog that's your own and it's ran off and you have to rescue it, then it runs off immediately after. I wasn't too annoyed because there was still quite a lot of daylight. So I just head back and call out, "Hey," and then I can find them. They're hiding behind a tree almost, gripping to it, scared to go across the bridge. Now a little annoyed, I say, "Come on, we have to go. Just trust me." And I hold their arm and we make it across the bridge. After about another 20 minutes or so of walking, we eventually make it back to the main station and I get them in and warm again. My colleagues just thanked me for my service, and I say no, it's my pleasure, and I go about the rest of my day. Now, the next day, we get a call out again. This time, it was only for myself, as the other person that did this part time couldn't get out of their work, so I was on my own. Now, apparently, there was an area that I needed to go and check out because people have been reporting hearing some strange sounds and seeing some weird activities. Along the lines of a group of people going out here, they're not seeming to come back again. We were definite that they weren't hikers, and this was only off of word of mouth from other hikers that have noticed this, but it seemed pretty weird. Now, no, I'm not one of them people that's going to throw myself into really dangerous situations, and I knew if something was up or if they come for me, I definitely wasn't sticking around and I wasn't going to force much of anything other than my own running away. Now, when I set off, things are pretty nice. It's actually a little colder than the previous day, which I didn't have too much of an issue with. So, I set off into the snow. Now, this time you can actually see lots and lots of footsteps, and I have a general area that I'm following. Now, you could see that there was lots of other hikers here, but this was an issue for me, because now it means that I haven't really got any footsteps to follow. I presumed that I was going to run into a group of people that were camping out here or doing something stupid in a hot tent they weren't supposed to, so I just continue on. Now, this isn't what you guys say as a national park, but it was a protected forest, so I was pretty mindful of the fact that there shouldn't be too many people camping here. I eventually make it up to another small bridge where I can't see any footsteps other than the ones that I'm creating. I go up some steps and realize that this is a little bit bizarre because I haven't seen this before. I'm not really too worried about it right now though, so I just keep on going. I eventually come up to almost the boundary of the area that I'm supposed to search, and I do see the traces of something. There seems to be something which is darker color up ahead of a few trees, but there's no footsteps and I can't really see much of anything there. I realize that there's definitely a structure I haven't seen before, and I'm pretty convinced that I'm looking at a tent here. I've waded my way through the snow and I actually go off of the path a bit further now. You can tell nobody ever really goes up here, it's very far, and there's not much to see here. The snow picks up a bit now and it kind of reduces my visibility, and it means that I'm not going to really see much of this thing until I'm pretty much on top of it, but that's fine. I keep on going, and eventually I'm just about within sight of this thing, and that's the first bizarre thing. It's quite large. It's almost like a large wooden structure, but it's something that is not on my map and something that I haven't seen before. I decide that I should go and investigate it, and I'm pretty convinced this is something that the old timers used to use, long before I was born or even my parents. I can't really see much of this thing, but it's almost like a weird effect where the closer I get, the larger it seems to become. Not in the sense of perspective change, but impossibly. It almost looks like a two-story wooden structure, but with no windows, just a door. Ah, this is pretty bizarre. I get very close to it and put my hand on it just to make sure it's real. I notice suddenly that things are weirdly quiet, but that's fine. Where I am, there's not many animals or insects, of course, so this is kind of normal. And I make my way around one side of it. I realize that this shouldn't be here, and I go to flick on my radio and report it in, but what do you know? Radio's not working. It's no worries though, I just flip in another battery and I report in what I'm seeing. They ask me for my coordinates, but I can't seem to get anything up on the GPS. It's quite weird, it's almost like when I went into this kind of valley section of the park or forest, whatever, that I seem to lose pretty much all reception. This isn't an issue though, and I just take a few steps back. I decide the best thing to do now is try and get an vantage point. I'm not going to go up a tree because I can't climb, though it seems like it might be a good option because I have to hike a bit of a way up a hill. I'm not sure whether there's more of these things, and it is a really entirely bizarre new experience for me, so I start to make my way up the hill. I don't see any hikers or anybody around, so after eventually getting up there and surveying, I realize that this thing seems to have just been put there out of nowhere, which is pretty bizarre. One of my colleagues reassures me, saying that yeah, there's probably things that weren't mapped out too well and not to worry, but I don't know, I have a weird feeling about this. After standing on top of my hill, I eventually come back down again and decide that I'm going to investigate the structure. No, I'm not feeling fear or anything, but weirdly, I do seem to notice new footsteps that are somewhat different from my own. Now, they aren't like normal footsteps, so it's almost like trailing along, but with breaks in the trowels, if that makes sense. It's gonna sound like a weird explanation, but it's almost like an animal's been skiing around here, but I know it's not that. I know the area well, and it's definitely no animal that I'm aware of, so I'm pretty sure people have caused that. I'm a little bit concerned because they seem like relatively fresh tracks, probably a couple of minutes newer than my own, but that's fine. I reassure myself, yeah, it's just an animal like a rabbit, and maybe it's just getting hunted or chased, and I decide to go towards the door. I give some knocks on the door and quickly stand back, expecting some people to jump out and capture me, but nothing happens. I'm not really sure what to do now. I decide to walk off and just sit in the snow close to a tree for a couple of minutes and just wait and see what happens. I don't know why, but that seems to be the best thing that I can do in this moment. Just to hold off and just be nice and quiet and figure out what's actually happening. I drink some water from my canteen, and I'm almost tempted to light off a cigarette, but I know that's quite a stupid idea. I can suddenly feel my nerves coming on a bit stronger now, and that's actually what I decided to do. It's kind of out of character for me, and I don't really smoke much too, it's just my friend giving me a couple from when we had a night out not long ago, and I thought it might be a relaxing thing to do if ever I was walking through here. But I don't know, it didn't do much to calm my nerves. I decided that I should investigate, and I don't know why, I kind of felt like drawn to this thing. Now, while I get up and start walking, I have a moment where I suddenly go dizzy, and for a few seconds, I seem to have a change of scenery. It's like I'm watching myself walk on a different path, kind of like from bird's eye view, which is really bizarre. I suddenly snap out of it after a couple of minutes, and I presume that the cigarette rush has got to my head. After not long, I'm now face to face with the door, and I knock on it one more time, and there's nothing. The door also doesn't have windows, which is odd, but I have a little headlamp thing I can tie onto my beanie, and I do that. I put the light on, and I open the door. Weirdly, it wasn't locked, which I think is pretty bizarre, but when I open this place, there are some lights on. I don't actually need the headlamp, but it's bizarre, it's very barren. It's almost like a very large room with not much in the middle other than a table and a phone. I call out hello again and I don't hear anybody. I think maybe this is an old station and I'm not actually that worried, realizing it's our own thing. I stand in here for a couple of minutes just trying to take it all in, and there's a strange smell. It almost smells like meat that's gone off for a day or two, but not exactly the same, and kind of just like really old wood. Now my ears start ringing. I jump as I realise that the phone's ringing. I also notice that the phone seems very old. It's one of those that you have to kind of wind and dial up, but I've never really seen one in person before. And I think this is pretty odd. Not knowing what to do, I just stand there and wait for it to stop ringing. It doesn't. It goes on for a good 2 or 3 minutes, and I decide that, well, I should probably answer it. Thinking maybe it is one of our stations and they've seen me go in here. I go and answer the phone and say hello. There's no reply, and nobody says anything for a good couple of seconds. And then, I slowly hear a voice saying, "I know what you're doing. Run." I then say hello. "No, this is one of the workers on duty. What are you talking about?" And the line goes down. Realizing that something's definitely off now, I put the phone down and my vision goes a bit blurry. I realize now that my hands are shaking and I slowly turn around and walk out of that thing. I then start walking back the way that I've come, almost frozen in fear of what's just happened. I walk up to the hill where I was before and I lay down now. I put my hands on my head and I just lay there for a couple of moments. That's when I hear voices. Now, they weren't too close to where I was, but I can definitely hear people talking. It sounds like a group of people somewhere much further away from where I am. And with that, I slowly get up. I look in all possible directions, but I can't see anyone. I do realize that I need to get out of here now, and I start walking very quickly through the snow, uphill. I make my way downhill and eventually back onto another path that we use just for staff members now. I quickly get onto the radio, finally get my senses back, and I very quietly say what's happened and that something's definitely off. They keep asking me for my position, but because of my fear and my handshake, and I'm really struggling to operate the GPS, and I'm really struggling to get a signal at that. I can kind of get one bar, but nothing's actually registering correctly, so I realise that I'm gonna have to hike most of the way back now. Thankfully, they offered to stay on the line with me and reassure me that things are gonna be fine and not to worry, that it's probably just an old cabin that we used to use and forgot about. But I keep telling them who spoke to me on the phone, and they're saying nobody. Why would we call you on a telephone when we've actually got radios? And that's when I realised something was seriously off about this situation. Now, I eventually make it back to civilization and where my ranger buddies are, and I hug them. They take me inside and get me warmed up. I then report everything that happened and tell them that I want to report this to the police and that something's way off. Now, they didn't take it too seriously at first, then they just said, oh, you've probably just gone out too far and got slow blindness and just imagined it. But I tell them I know what I saw, and I know my radio wasn't working correctly, and my GPS at one point. Eventually, they do call out the police and they come, and I have to go to the station with them and report what I've seen. They say not to worry and that they're going to investigate it further, and some of the other rangers also went out to investigate it. But this is the craziest thing that I don't understand. Nobody could ever find that thing. Apparently they went to the exact area where that I saw this, and all they could see is a clearing. And weirdly, parts of snow that had nothing there, exactly where a building should have been, but no building. They actually accused me of clearing it to make up my own story to try and get attention, of which actually made me really angry. But I just can't understand that. They found nothing, not a trace of the building that I saw, or any signs of people. Only my own footsteps leading up to the area that was still in the snow, then coming back another way. I didn't know what to think of the whole experience. I still don't now. I just hope that by sharing my story, I somehow get some kind of therapy from this and kind of closure, but I still don't know what to make of it. I don't know who spoke to me on that phone that day or why, and I don't think I want to. I'd probably spent too long out in the woods, because I'd become incredibly comfortable out there. Every so often, I'd hear or see something that I couldn't explain, but it never really unsettled me. Now, I really had a knack for being out in the winter. I don't know why, I just really liked it. There was something about being out and the added silence that really was something I found peaceful. What made it all the better was the fact that I had a beautiful house that my family owned that was surrounded by miles and miles of forests. Now, this house was quite some ways up a hill, and it was somewhere that I loved going to. It wasn't necessarily modern, and you actually had to use a stove fire, I think that's what you call it, to stay warm. We'd even use candles sometimes to stay warm up there. Now, I remembered when I was a bit younger something weird that happened. Now, I'm gonna have to tell you this from my dad's perspective because I don't really remember it clear enough, but this is what my dad said happened. So we're staying up there during one winter, just because the place is so beautiful, and to try and have a nice family holiday. I was working really hard at the time and I needed the break and clearness, so we headed up there. The first couple of days were absolutely beautiful, and it gets to Christmas Eve. We have all of the presents set up and a really nice Christmas tree. And this is a real one, not like the modern ones. We even have the fire going and it's really peaceful. My two kids at the time were really excited to see Santa Claus. There's my son and my daughter. Now, my daughter was a little bit younger but still believed in Santa, even does partly to this day. Well, that's a lot more than my son, which is why my story gets a bit weird. So, we put the kids in bed and it's just me and my wife laying there happy. Now, suddenly, my son runs in the room saying, "Dad, Daddy, I saw Santa Claus out the window." Now, obviously realizing something's completely wrong, I get up. I realize that my son's not just going to make this up and I kind of panic a little. I run out to the window and I don't see anything. He says, "Look, Santa's gone off running." I open the window and put my head out and ask my son to show me where. I quickly close it and grab my son and run out the front. And, what do you know? There's a silhouette of somebody running off in the distance into the tree line. I scream out, "Hey, hey," but they don't respond. They seem absolutely panicked and maybe injured. They were running a little weird. From what I can make out, they're very old and have quite a long beard, and there's not much else I can see. But this definitely wasn't Santa Claus. I chased off after them as quick as I could, but they must have really took off because I never saw them again. I wasn't stupid enough to get lost in the woods trying to track this person down, but I realized something's really off. I eventually go back to my worried wife and son and I tell them not to worry about anything. I then say, "Oh, Santa's come too early," almost like a joke trying to get my son to calm down, but it actually works. The daughter was also a bit upset but much happier after realizing this. In their minds, I just chased off Santa and I was a monster, but in my own, I knew what happened. I asked my son to describe what happened and he said he was laying there half asleep in bed when he opened his eyes and saw Santa Claus staring at him through the window. I said, "How long was he there?" And he said he doesn't know, but it must have been a while because he felt like somebody was there for quite some time. Apparently, he thought that maybe Santa was near and decided to pretend he was asleep for a good 10 minutes, just in case Santa was actually there about to deliver presents. Yeah, you can imagine how that made me feel, and I called the authorities, but unfortunately, they didn't find anybody. So yeah, that was my dad's story, and now I find it as creepy as heck. From my perspective, it is literally just me waiting to see Santa. But looking back on it now, it really makes me feel sick. I hate the fact that things like this happen. I still have no idea who that person is, and honestly, sometimes when I'm out there on my own, I hope I find them just so I can give them a good beating. But I'll never know who it was, but it still freaks me out. Nothing too similar to that's actually happened since, and I'm quite grateful for that. Other than that, I had a really good childhood. Now, there's one other pretty creepy thing that I know that happened from when I was a bit younger, also related to this. Now, I had a friend who I'll just call Jack for the sake of this, who was my best friend at the time. Near Jack's house and not too far from the house that we had, there was a really nice wooded area. This was kind of secluded away from everything and, I don't know, it just had a certain vibe to it and we had lots of fun there. One of our favourite things that we could do was climb up a really big old tree. I remembered we'd do it sometimes if we heard other people, just because we didn't want them to intrude on us and make us jump or, I don't know, we were just kids so we're a little bit worried. Now, earlier in the day, we'd been doing some stupid things. We'd been stealing some firewood off somebody's front drive. Now, when we'd run up on the driveway, one of us would keep lookout and the other would go and grab the logs. I don't know why we did it, we literally had no use for these things, but I guess it's just a thing to do at the time. Now, we didn't actually like the people who lived here, mind you, because every time we'd play games outside, they would get really angry. I remembered one time we were playing catch or something and the ball went into this person's yard, and this old man comes out, grabs it and literally doesn't give it back again. I mean, we're literally kids having fun and he can't stand it. like he had nothing better to do other than this. Well, hey, now was time for our payback. Now, after getting as much wood as we could pretty much handle, without making it too obvious that we'd taken them, we head back to the tree. Now, we played a few games until we heard a voice screaming. They were calling out, "Hey, hey, I know you're up there. Hey." So, what did we do? We panicked. I ran behind the big tree and immediately began climbing, but my friend Jack, he wasn't really a good climber, and he needed all the help he could get. He started climbing up the tree and actually got a cut on his leg and started to panic, and I had to go down to rescue him. Eventually, he was okay and decided to keep going higher. I told him not to and that it's a bad idea, but he didn't listen. I was in quite a good point, just out of sight where I could peer around the tree and see what was happening up ahead. Now, there wasn't too much happening up ahead at first, so I actually grew relatively relaxed at this. Now, not too much longer later, we can hear the voice, but much louder. They say, "Hey, I know you're here. What are you doing?" But this voice sounded different. It sounded far too deep. I also saw a couple of flashlights. It was now getting a bit dark, and I thought, "God, I'm really in trouble now, and I really hope that my parents don't find out." Yeah, it wouldn't have been the best if my dad had found out, because he actually warned me about playing out here, so I wasn't looking forward to potential consequences, and at the same time, I was willing to do everything I could to try and minimize the risk of getting that whooping off my dad. So I'm playing it safe. Now, they ended up coming literally to the base of the tree. One of them whacks on the base of it, saying, "Come on, we know you're out here." And my heart falls through my chest. All they have to do is look up just a little bit and they're gonna see me. And I can now see that it's a group of angry adults. Until eventually, they make their way. Now, we stayed up this tree for God knows how long, and I didn't make any communication with my friend. I knew it was a bad idea because it's going to be obvious that we're talking, and I didn't know if these people were waiting for us. I was 100% certain it was the people annoyed about us taking their wood. Also, when they left, I could see them carrying things, which I'm pretty certain was a firewood, but I thought, well, at least I avoided my dad. But the problem is now that it's growing very late, and I'm going to get in much more trouble if I'm not home in time. I knew the best bet now was to say that I was going to stay at my friend Jack's house. Now, this is something I'd done a few times before and that I actually really enjoyed during sleepovers, but today I didn't really want to have to do that if I didn't have to, but it was looking that way. Now, eventually I say, "Jack, Jack." And I don't hear a reply, so I realise that something's off now. I say, "Jack, come on, where are you?" And I look up the tree, and I realise that he's gone. Thinking, how could this guy have possibly gone further? I start climbing higher and higher, until I realise that he's not there. I thank God, did he get captured? In my mind, this is the last I'm ever going to see of my friend, and I actually feel a little bit scared, and this is the first true panic set in. I eventually make my way down, and I actually hurt myself getting off the tree. I didn't judge the fall very well, and my God, I don't know how I didn't break my legs. I was quite frustrated at myself for losing my friend, and I knew I had to look for him. Now, I sat down, and it's very dark. I take one step, and I hear a loud sound, which immediately I realise is a frog, and I calm down a bit. I realise just how jumpy I am now, and how unsettling everything's making me. It was getting a little bit cold too, and I wasn't really dressed too well for the weather. Now I start making my way in a new direction that I haven't been before. This is through the very high grass. Now, I make it quite a long way along here, saying, "Jack, Jack, where are you? Jack, I need you now. We have to go." Now, the last thing that I wanted to do was go out of here without my friend, but I really don't feel like I have much of an option now. I think, God, why couldn't we have just done something normal and kind of cussed myself out for a bit? I continue walking, wading further and further through this tall grassy stuff until eventually I hear someone whistle. I drop down really quickly and turn back to see what it is. Now, initially I see somebody waving, but because of the fear, I can't really see clear and it takes a second for my eyes to adjust. Then I realize it's Jack, in the tree. He says, "Hey, it's clear." I say, "Jack, for God's sake, how did you get up there? I was just there." And he said, "Hey, look, I come down, just come back quick. Don't move another inch forward." And I don't. I then start coming back the way that I went, and I realize that it's quite soggy ground around here. Now, I didn't realize how much ground I'd covered because it takes me quite a long time to end up catching up with my friend again. He says, "Hey, come here, no, seriously." And I kind of think that I'm in danger again, so I start up the tree. I eventually make it to where my friend is, and I say, "Where did you go?" And he says that he couldn't hear from me, and he was worried that they had done something and couldn't spot me where I was, so he climbed down as quietly as he could and searched the area, then come back again. I tell him my perspective, and he says, "I don't know how we didn't see each other," and I agree. He then says, "Look, I need you to come up here." I'm a little hesitant because I don't want to climb up the tree anymore because it looks dangerous, but he offers to go down, giving me enough space to get up there appropriately and safely. I do that, and eventually make it to almost at the top. As I do so, a large part of the tree falls down and makes a really loud sound, and I'm clung there. I don't want to move any further up now because it's not stable, so instead, I just look around. Now, I then see what my friend was pointing to from further down. Just up to the edge of where the grass is, there's a huge drop. Now, this is almost a cliff like I've never seen before. It's just pure blackness down the edge. I let out a large gasp and say, "How did we not see that before?" And Jack then tells me that I was literally only probably 2 steps away from going off the edge into the water below. Now, I know for a fact that I would have died or would have really seriously hurt myself and probably fell unconscious had I have kept on going any further. What really creeps me out about that situation is just a feeling of realization that I was 1 step away from being really hurt, but honestly having no idea about the danger that I was in. I was really mad at myself, like, honestly. But eventually we both make it down again safely, and we decide to go and check how much of the wood they've actually taken back. Jack and I then half joke about actually taking it back again, but we decide to leave it for another time. Now, weirdly, we get to the exact spot where the wood should be, and it does look different. We have a look around until eventually we find the pile. Now, weirdly, it was exactly where we'd left it before, but also there was an old busted out computer now next to it. You could see that somebody really had a go at it with a hammer, which we thought was pretty bizarre. We then realized that this is probably what the group of guys were after that we saw earlier, and we suddenly realized that it wasn't the old person that we didn't like or his friends trying to get the wood back, and that gave us chills. Now, we're so unsettled by the realization of this that we actually decide to put the wood back where it was, just so, I don't know, everything is as it seemed before. We kind of want to remove our traces and steps of ever being there, but we realize that it's not really possible. But we still do it anyway. We didn't really say many words and just gave our goodbyes, and I started the long walk home then. I actually lived on the other side of town where we are, and it took quite a while to walk back. Now, I can tell you that that walk back was one of the most scary of my life. I was constantly looking around, half expecting them to find me again, and I was actually planning escape routes in case that happened. There was 2 ways that I could go back. One was through a main road, and the other was near a big hill, and I decided to go through the big hill. It's just a bit more of a stealthy option, and it just made me feel safer, and safety is really important at this time. I eventually made my way back home, and I get berated off my parents for coming home so late. I say I'm really sorry and that I was going to sleep over at Jack's house, but I forgot our number to inform my mum and dad, and I got banned from going out to sleepovers or going to see Jack for a number of months, and that was quite frustrating. But I guess it was kind of the best situation out of what had happened, because I don't know who those guys were out there, or what they were doing with the computer, or who they were looking for, but the whole situation just seems messed up. I'm just glad, like really glad, that I didn't fall. And another side note thinking of it is, if I had fell not expecting to fall, I probably would have especially got hurt, because I wouldn't have been able to brace myself whatsoever. You know, if something falls on you and you don't see it, it hurts so much more? Yeah, just like that. Now, those are probably the most creepy experiences I had during my childhood. Now, I have to bring you to one much closer. Now, this happened around 2 years ago, and is something that I still think about to this day. Now, there's a few different cave systems near where this house is, and they're ones that I often didn't explore. Now, there's obviously good reasons for this, because it can be incredibly dangerous, but I don't know, it can kind of be enticing sometimes. And one time that I was staying up at the house on my own, I decided to go and investigate. Now, it was my fault for not having enough of a structure and kind of losing focus on what was actually important in life, and I thought, hey, why don't I go and explore a cave that I know is kind of creepy and might be an interesting thing and give me something to talk about. And yeah, I got those things, but not how I wanted. So I set off one morning. It was pretty cold out, and there was actually snow everywhere still at this point. Now, that wasn't too much of an issue, and I actually had some snowshoes designed just for this. Now, this was still a little wet from the previous day, but that doesn't matter. There was lots of different kinds of trees and shrubs around me, and there was kind of a few natural paths and breaks in the trees. Now, there wasn't any snow falling currently when I set off, which is a good thing, and everything is silent, and that's just how I like it. Now, I don't have to get too far until I'm just to where the cave should be, and what do you know, bingo, I find it. Now, this cave is basically a big hole in the ground, which I guess most of them are, but there's not kind of like a doorway. There are some rocks which kind of separate it into three sections, and I decide to gauge how deep it is. I grab a rock and throw it in, and I don't hear it at first. I realize that it's a pretty deep one, but there's pretty good ways to get down the sides of it, which I actually follow. Now, this cave is quite a lot warmer than outside, and I kind of realize why that cavemen like caves. I had done some caving before, so I wasn't too worried about setting off now. I also had my torch attached to my head, and a few spare ones, which are really important for when you're doing anything like this. When I went in, I thought I was going to find all kinds of cool things, but there wasn't really too much to see at first. Now, I knew this cave wasn't supposed to be too deep, and I like that. I go to one area, and I can see some really beautiful rock formations which are coming up and dripping down from the ceiling, which I found really nice. Now, there were actually some spiders I saw, and I really don't like them, so I decided to continue on. I'm not going to go too far, because obviously I'm on my own and I don't want to get lost in here. Now, that's one of the stupid things that I'd done, was I didn't inform anybody of what I was doing. I remembered that at one point there was a very strong and sudden wind chill, which I thought was really odd. I hadn't felt anything like it, and I don't know why it just came on so suddenly. Now, this was really cold, like noticeably colder than the surrounding parts, which I thought was bizarre. Now, I continue on anyway, and I come up to an area where I see something odd. There's a chain swinging on its own. I don't know what this chain is or why it's there, but it's almost self-powered. I wondered whether it was actually a machine or something that somebody had left in there, because I knew nobody else was there but me. I do a quick hey, hello, and I don't hear anything. I think this is pretty bizarre, and I call out again, almost convinced that there should be somebody out there, other than me, but no, there's no one. Again, I think this is rather bizarre, and I continue on. I'm almost at my endpoint now, and I don't want to go much further, and I basically avoided the chain, thinking that It's something that could be explained. Now, at the time, it didn't hit me how creepy that was and how bizarre it was that that was left in there. I just thought some other hiker had been in there, or explorer like me, and just left some of their equipment there swinging, and I thought maybe it was somehow motorized. I guess I just wasn't thinking. Now, eventually, I hear a whipping sound, and I hear that it's coming from behind me. I turn around again and realize it's from that chain that I heard before. I'm now convinced someone's in here with me, and I realize that they may need help. I then turn around and go to where the chain is, and it's still swinging like before. I then go up to it, and weirdly, I can see that there's nothing to make it swing. I hold it for a second and let go, and it suddenly stops. Now, at this point, it wasn't swinging so fast, but I was almost certain that it shouldn't be moving like this, and I'm looking for someone who might be in danger or need help. I call out, "Hey," and again, I'm just met with echoes. I use my other torch now so I can see a bit better, but there's still no one. Annoyingly, too, I actually cut part of my head on one of the things hanging down from the rock formation above me. It's not a big cut, but it's annoying because I'm worried it's going to turn septic. I then decide that now is probably a good time to get out of here and start heading back when I hear something. It almost sounds like a low growl, but it's only for a second and I can't be too certain at what I'm hearing. I think this is pretty weird, and I think maybe there's an animal that's got lost in here. Ah, yes, that would make perfect sense. An animal's probably come and brushed it, and I've just been in here creeping myself out. And I decide to continue. I think that I'm getting out here and I don't have any time for it. But then I hear the sound again, though this time it sounds more like a moaning. Now, I'm not entirely convinced that what I'm actually hearing. It kind of sounds like an animal, but it kind of sounds like a person too, so it's pretty hard to figure out what this is. I'm trying to figure out where this sound is coming from, but it's really hard to approximate because of the echoes, until eventually it grows a bit louder and I know where it is. It's somewhere in the inky blackness, not much further ahead. Now I've got to figure out what this is. The curiosity was kind of killing me now, and I take my first few steps towards it. Now, the first I noticed of it is when a shadow was cast from my torch. I can see the silhouette of something. Not exactly certain if I wasn't looking at another rock formation. I edge closer, and that's when I see it. Hunched over in the shape of an elongated human body is something almost in a praying position. I look up and lock eyes with whatever this thing is, and I see some piercing dark red glowing back at me as my flashlight illuminates whatever this thing is. Now, in a split second, I turned around and was bolting out of there as quick as I possibly could. Now, I didn't have much time to think. I was like a trapped person with a wild animal trying to get back desperately. What I saw, I can only describe as a half human, half statue, half creature, which was really too long and skinny. It had some human features, but I couldn't make out much of a mouth or anything. Just these absolutely disgusting, demonic looking eyes. Now, I've done lots of research since trying to find anything similar to what I saw, but I just can't find anything. Now, of course, none of this is going through my head while I'm sprinting back, but I just have this terrible feeling. You know, like when you're running in a nightmare and you can't get away quick enough and your legs aren't moving? Well, imagine having that, but also being trapped in a cave and trying not to get lost. Yeah, it was really frustrating. I looked over my shoulder every so often and I can't see anything, but every so often, ever so faintly, I can hear a weeping sound. I don't know whether it was getting closer, and I don't know where it was coming from because of the echoes, but it was sure as heck there. Now in my desperation, I get stuck. I get my arm half wedged in one of the lodges on the way, and I can't get it out. I keep pulling and pulling and let out a kind of quiet muted scream as I'm punching my arm, desperately saying, "No, no, no, come on." I keep glancing back every couple of seconds just to make sure whatever that thing is hasn't moved an inch, but I can't see it. I keep punching until eventually I free my arm and unfortunately cut it in the process. I got a nasty gash on my forearm, and again I'm worried about it getting infected. I've now made it about 3/4 of the way out of the cave, and I'm starting to see some light. The rocks are incredibly jagged in this area, and I'm not going up the way you should. I'm going up the quickest way that I can, and I pay the consequences. As I start climbing the final ascent, some of the rocks fall off, and again I cut my hand. I'm not too worried about it right now, and I'm just desperately trying to get away from this thing. I have to stop for one moment to catch my breath and get ready for the last pull, which I need to get up. And that's when I hear it again, the weeping sound. It didn't sound closer than before, but it's still there. I give myself one last pull, and eventually I'm freed from the cave. I climb out as quickly as I can, and I'm constantly looking in all directions. I don't feel like I'm out of danger whatsoever, and I don't know if I'm going to get chased again, so I decide to keep moving quickly. I look back and I notice something dripping down, and to my horror I see blood. I don't know what it is or why it's there when I suddenly realize that it's my own blood and that I need to get back to help quickly. So I continue going through the woods in the cold, feeling very scared on my own, trying to get back to civilization. I have quite a way to go, and I keep telling myself, "You're so stupid, you're so stupid. Why on God's earth did you do that? Why did you go in there alone? What did you benefit from this?" And I don't know, I just felt kind of a deep shame and fear. I don't stop looking behind myself, trying to figure out where this person or thing was. Now, I eventually make it back to the house, and I manage to patch myself up. Not long before I get into my truck and drive over to the hospital. They give me some shots and help patch me up even better, and that's because I wasn't sure exactly what I'd been cut on. They were worried that it was rusty metal or something like that, and you know, all the other nasties. They asked the same question that I asked myself, which is, "Why did you go in there alone?" I say I don't know, I just felt drawn to it. And I don't actually bother telling them about what I saw. Now, I eventually make it back to one of my friend's houses, and he asked what the cuts were about, and I just made up some excuse. I really didn't want to think about what happened again. I really pained myself even doing it for this writing. Now, I don't know if the events that I told you about are somehow linked, or whether the creature that watched me through the window is the same one that I had seen in that cave, but whatever I saw, I know wasn't a living person like you and me. I don't know what it was, and it really haunts me.